So again, welcome to the semester. The plan is we're going to try to go through Habona and Haoreg, which is doing basically four malachos a little more than four, but four malachos very well. Bona Makim Patish Choresh a little bit, Kosev a little bit of Oreg, but primarily we're going to end up focusing over time on certain Yesodos that emerge in Psik Resha and Yesodos on Malachos and Tzrichah L'Gufa that come up. That's all in these five daf that I hope to cover this semester. The reason why I chose to focus over here rather than usually when you do Malachos you start on daf Ayin Gimel, which is where you have the list of the 39 malachos, is because when you learn daf Ayin Gimel, you're not learning Gemara. You're learning various Rishonim and malachos, and you're like pulling out Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa every day, which is very nice and it's very important. But I think what we're supposed to be doing is learning Gemara. So that's why we're doing this. Obviously, the goal is to have a good understanding of the sugyas having been developed, and to get a sense of where various poskim and where various halachos emerge from. Over the course of the semester, you also get my various shitos in some of these sugyas. But that's the basic idea. Obviously, the goal of Torah in general is to grow in Yerushalayim also. My understanding is that we get as much Yerushalayim by learning a Rambam as we do by reading Mesilas Yesharim. This is my general approach to life. Then again, I'm not so frum. That's why I say it this way. Okay, so what we will accomplish in Mir Tahashem is we will be moving relatively quickly through Gemaras and focusing on certain major sugyas as they come up. Some of the sugyas that emerge over here in the first daf, like Makkah B'Patish and how it's defined, is a very broad sugya that we will keep on touching on throughout this first daf and a half of the Gemara. But we'll make like a few points and then develop them as we go on. There's also some broad yesodos that we'll talk about tonight regarding what's the definition of malacha hamiskayim. I heard people were like doing those makoros, so that's the plan. Okay, so let's go. So the Mishnah begins habona kama yivne v'heichayiv. Right, how much do you have to build in order to violate the malacha of bona? Rashi comments a habona is habona she'amru ba'avos malachos kama yivne. In other words, Rashi says that we are going back to Ayin Gimel, the part that I said we're skipping. Rashi decides that we have to go back to it, and Zakt Rashi, bona, which is listed as the avos malachos, how much do you have to build? Tosis is bothered by Akasha, how come we have bona? You see, the way Masechet Shabbos works, actually, we did this a little bit in the first Tosfos in Bamei Mamlekin. The first, I'd say, four prakim of Shabbos go in order of the day. That you start off with Friday, right? Okay, this is a big chiddush. Friday comes before Friday late afternoon, which comes before Friday night, which comes before Shabbos day, right? And that's what Tosfos says at the beginning of Bamei Mamlekin, that Neros Shabbos is earlier, let's say, than Hatmana, because you have to light candles before Shabbos begins, right? We discussed that Tosfos at the beginning. After the first four Prakim, which go in order of the day, then Prakim 5, 6, and a little bit of 7, then more Perek 8 and 9 and 10, right, and 11, is all about the Malacha Chotza'a. Chotza'a is in the Lashon of the Rishonim, it's a Malacha Geruah. It's unlike all the other Malachos, which create a certain change in the substance. Chotza'a is only a change of location. I move from place A to place B, that's called a Malacha, and that's the Chiddush of Chotza'a. All other Malachos, you are changing something. There's a change in the item. Right, I do Oreg, I'm Osa Shtei Batei Nirin, I do whatever I'm doing, there is a change. Kosev, I'm putting letters down on paper, there is a real noticeable change. Chotza'a is only a change of location. Chotza'a happens to have more details than all the other malachos, and it takes up much more space. Chotza'a is also the malacha, interestingly, that we kind of had a way of obviating, that we built this thing called an Eruv, and that solves like the issues of Chotza'a. And Tosfos therefore says, I understand why Chotza'a would come first, because it's the largest. But why do we have Bona that comes after Chotza'a? That's how this is kasha. Sarech litein tam amay tani bona achar zrika v'hotza'a. You have to give a reason why bona comes after zorek and hotza'a. What Tosis means by adding the word zorek is because perek number 11 is called hazorek. Right? You violate hotza'a by throwing items also. So Tosis says you got to give a reason. Okay, nice. Tosis Yantiv comes and he gives us a reason, no? Did anyone see the Tosis Yantiv?
Yes.
What did the Tosis Yantiv say? First of all, who was the Tosis Yantiv? When and where did he live? Before Moshe Rabbeinu or after?
After.
Okay, before Moshe Feinstein?
Well, after. Before.
What? Good. What? What, Adina?
Yeah, after Tosha. Or after the womb.
Huh. No, sorry, didn't hear?
Is he from Europe?
He...
So Tosis Yantiv, yeah?
Is he one of the Tosis?
One of,
is he one of the Tosafists?
No. Tosis Yantiv is post-Tosis. Tosis Yantiv is a 17th century figure who wrote a commentary on Mishnayos by Yantiv Lipman Heller. There is actually a very good biography that you could buy of him at the YU's firm sale, written by a guy, Joseph Davis. Rabbi, the Tosis Yantiv was an interesting character. If you want to Google the defenestration of Prague, you can see the Tosis Yantiv's historical... Anyone know what defenestration means?
Throw something out of a window.
Throwing something out of a window, right. So there's an episode called Defenestration of Prague, and the Tosis Yantiv was very involved in that.
What
does that mean, the defenestration of Prague?
He threw Prague out the window?
No, there was someone thrown out the window in Prague. Okay, Prague is a city, Sophia, right? Okay. But the Tosis Yantiv basically develops a yesod that if you go through the malachos that are found, here, turn to the Ayin Gimel for a minute. Right, in Ayin Gimel, in the Mishnah, we give you the list of malachos. If my fingers would work, this would be easier. So in Ayin Gimel, the Mishnah says the Avos Malachos are 39, and we go through all the Avos Malachos, and the last of the Avos Malachos is Hamotzi Mirishus Larishus, and the one before the last of the Av Malachos, right, what's that called? The penultimate, right, the penultimate of the Avos Malachos, right, is Makib Patish. So what the Tosis Yantiv is basically saying is Hotza'a comes first, because Hotza'a is the biggest. But after I finish Hotza'a, I kind of work backwards through the Avos Malachos, and Makeh B'Patish is what we describe next. But in order to talk about Makeh B'Patish intelligently, you have to understand Bona, because Bona and Makeh B'Patish are very interrelated. Now, Bona means I build something. Makeh B'Patish effectively means I finish building something. This is the standard, normal definition of Makeh B'Patish, which we will, of course, be challenging. But Makeh B'Patish is connected to Bona, so therefore, Zuck Taisvis, Zuck the Tosis Yantiv, to answer Tosis Kasha, that we have Makeh B'Patish is really what we're talking about. And we throw Bona in because you can't understand Makeh B'Patish without Bona. Now, it doesn't really explain the Hemshech HaDvarim. No, because after I have Bona and Makeh B'Patish in the first Mishnah, if you just look on Kuf Gimel, the next Mishnah is Choresh. And why is Choresh over here? And then you have Kosev. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but probably what's going on is something along these lines. We start with Hotza'a. It's the biggest. After Hotza'a, we move backwards in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel, and we get to Makeh B'Patish. In order to do Makeh B'Patish, you have to also have Bona. The shear of Makeh B'Patish, Bona, is a Koshahu. And therefore, once the shear is a Koshahu, I decide to give you other Malachos with the shear is a Koshahu. Hence, we have Choresh on... hence, we have Choresh on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we throw Kosev in afterwards. I'm not exactly sure why. I kind of lose track.
Once isn't that Dafka not a Kosehu?
Kosev is Dafka not Kosehu. Yeah. So why Kosev comes after all the Kosehus, I don't know. Notice the Tosis Yantiv basically gives an answer that we start working backwards. But I really don't know how this plays out throughout the rest of the Masechta. It is a mystery. Okay. It's a mystery. I don't know the answers. Let's go weiter in the Mishnah. Habona. Kama yivne vihechayiv, right? So habona koshehu. If you build any amount, you're going to be chayiv. The Gemara is going to ask koshehu lamai chazi, like what does a koshehu accomplish? How are you being bona anything? Then the Mishnah says hamisates. What's misates?
Chisel.
Okay. It's like smoothing out a stone. That's what Rashi writes. Or you square off a stone. And Rashi adds every place according to what it does. Herodian stones, you know, if you look at the Kotel, they have like that square border around them. Other, right? That would be the Misates Esa'evan in Herodian times. Other places make bigger indents. Other places make it smoother. However it is done in your area, that is going to be the malacha of bona. That means that bona, to some extent, is subjective. Right? I'm assuming that misates etzaeven is some sort of bona, and therefore it is subjective. Rashi actually comments that in Germany they make charitzim in the stones. I have no idea, like, what that means, but there were different types of construction in Germany and in France. Rashi was exposed to both areas. Okay, this is something to ask Dr. Kannerfogel, and you'll probably get a lecture on it, but I don't know enough to comment. Weiter. Hamake bepatish ubema'atzad. Rashi, by the way, takes the vav out. You see that? We have in the Mishnah vihamake bepatish. Rashi removes the vav, and Rashi says hamake bepatish. L'cha'ora, if there would be a vav over here, so makeb patish is probably a way of doing bona. No? Rashi's telling me which utensil, which keli I use to finish off the stone. That would be, that would be the Mishnah with the vav. But according to Rashi, who takes the vav out, so Zakt Rashi, Hamakeb Patish, Gamhu Bi'ovos Malachos, Vahu Belaz, a pick. Right? According to. What's a pick? It's a pick. It's a.
I didn't realize that.
It's like that
thing. It's like this, and then
it's like a. Right, yeah, it's like this, and then they. And what they basically do is they use the thing. I imagine it's like a pointy peg or something that you put in, and you bang it, and Zakt Rashi, when you bang it, you knock the stone off of the mountain. La'acha shechatzav b'sa'evin savim, u'mavdom en ha'har k'tzas, hu'makeh b'patish makeh gedola, v'hi misparekes v'nofeles, v'zehu gemar malacha shechotz ve'evin, v'chol ha'gomer b'shabes malacha, told us makeh b'patishi.
Rashi thinks that
makeh b'patish
is totally separate from bona.
Rashi thinks makeh b'patish is totally separate from bona, right?
It's its own malacha.
It's its own malacha. Again, but the Mishnah Ayin Gimel told me that bona and makeh b'patish are two separate malachas. Right. So that's clear. But still, for Rashi, makeh b'patish is separate than bona in a more fundamental way. And we'll talk about this later on when we do the Tosfos Hai. But I'll just kind of throw it out there. There's a discussion in the Gemara about Ein Binyan B'Kelim, that the Malach of Bona is only done when it's something that's Mechubar L'Karka, not with the Kelim. The Bali HaTosfos have an approach that Ein Binyan B'Kelim is not a categorical statement. Rather, Ein Binyan B'Kelim means, according to the Bali HaTosfos, that usually the binyan of a keli is not that significant, but if you make a keli entirely, then you're making a keli, let's say, from beginning to end, so then it's a full-fledged malacha, according to the Bali HaTosfos. Rashi has a shita that ein binyan b'kelim is a categorical statement. In other words, there's no such thing as building a keli. Now, according to the Bali HaTosfos, that bona b'kelim can be binyan. So bona and makeh b'patish are extremely related. I make a keli, I do bona. The last little bit of making that keli is called makeh b'patesh. Right, that's the way it would exist according to Tosfos. But for Rashi, bona and makeh b'patesh, right, are very different. Making a keli, according to Rashi, is not bona. Makeh b'patesh will happen when I finish the keli, even though there was no bona beforehand. Point one. Rashi then tells us over here, let's go back. Zakt Rashi, if I knock a stone off of the mountain, I do that last bang, no? So that, according to Rashi, is makeh b'patesh. Is there any bone in removing a stone from the mountain? The Choranet, no? For Rashi, there is going to be a melacha of makeh b'patesh when I finish the stone. Gemar melacha of chotzve even. And I think if we read the Rashi slowly and carefully, Zakt Rashi, the av melacha is knocking that stone off the mountain. You see, by all melachos, there are avos and toldos, right? Memtes, Daf Memtes in Shabbos, teaches me that we learn from Pesukim that there's a category of toldos by melachos. Yerushalmi writes over here that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish tried to find 39 toldos for every one of the avos melachos. I need math majors in order to figure out what 39 times 39 would be. It's very difficult, but it's a big number, right? So, avos probably are those items exactly that happened in the Mishkan. Toldos are actions which are very similar to what they did in the Mishkan, but a teeny bit different. And therefore, I can't say it's an av, because the exact thing wasn't done in the Mishkan, but it's similar enough that Mistama HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that in mind also. Right? It's similar enough that there's no real reason to distinguish, but I can't say it's an av just because the exact thing didn't happen in the Mishkan. So Rashi tells me that knocking a stone off of the mountain is the av melacha of makeh b'patesh. What's the told of makeh b'patesh according to Rashi? Any other melacha when I finish the melacha. Right? In other words, I would argue that for Rashi, the av malacha of makeh b'patesh is something that I finish an activity, and that activity itself is not a malacha. Knocking a stone off, I'm not making anything that is halachic. Again, it's muktzah, big whoop, right? That's like drabana, right? Knocking the stone off is the av malacha of makeh b'patesh, according to Rashi. Because there was no malacha beforehand, but if I am goymer any malacha, then that's a tolda of makeh b'patesh. Right? If I, for example, have a malacha like kosev, and I'm goymer that malacha, let's say I'm writing a book, right? And when I write that book, I finish the book. I write that last letter of the book. One could argue, or maybe I put the cover on the book. That would be the tolda, because I'm finishing a malacha, but the av for Rashi is not finishing a malacha. The av is just making that stone. Good? What does Tosfos ask on Rashi? What? It wasn't in the Mishkan. Correct, Tosfos Akasha, that right, in the Mishkan they didn't have stones. No? The Mishkan was made out of wood, right? It wasn't a binyan avonim. So that's Tosfos' kasha. The Mishkan nohaya binyan avonim, v'lo shavik tana gemar malacha dekelim dehevah b'mishkan, v'noket makeh b'patesh de'evan de'lo hevah b'mishkan. Right? We wouldn't ignore finishing kelim. They had kelim in the Mishkan, and instead have makeh the patish of a stone which was not in the Mishkan. By the way, is it true that there were no stones in the Mishkan? This is something I was thinking about. They had stones. No, last week's parasha. The end of Mizbech Avonim Taseli. No?
You couldn't, like, do it near the... You couldn't, like, hew it.
So you couldn't hew it, like, with a metal utensil.
Right.
Right? So,
interesting.
Right, so what? So Rashi is going to say that the stones that they use for the Mizbeach can't be the Av Malacha because you have to use a metal utensil to get the stones off. And they couldn't have done that in the...
That's what you mean,
that's Tosus. Tosus is asking on Rashi, there were no stones in the Mishkan. So why can't we just answer, no, there were stones. They had a Mizbeach.
Right. No, but so I thought they couldn't make that near. I thought you like couldn't hear the sound of a hammer on stone.
Right, so you can't use hammer.
They didn't use it. They didn't.
So they didn't. How did they get the stones off?
Like how did they?
How did they get the stones off the mountain if you can't use metal utensils?
Well, there weren't mountains. Didn't they say there was like a whole like.
The worm?
There was a worm, and there was a worm called the Shamir or something.
And it ate it.
It. Yeah. It's hard to understand exactly what that means, but...
I feel like there are worms that eat stone. That doesn't surprise me.
That's really hard.
Water can go through stone. Water can go through stone.
I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
like, I mean, this is already... I have to ask my kids. Like, my kids that know this stuff. I don't know. I mean, it is a little bit strange. And you're saying because it was done with a worm, so therefore it wasn't na'aseh bidei adam. And if it's not Nasir Bidei Adam, it couldn't be a Malacha. So that's why the stones of the Mizbeach couldn't be used. But it is interesting that Tosfos asks Akasha that, what do you mean? There are no stones in the Mishkan. So I saw that Rabbi Eli Shulman, he's like one of the Rebbeim in YU. So he has a Sefer. Called Yisamach Av on Shabbos and Erchin. We're probably never going to teach Erchin over here, but Shabbos at least we're teaching.
Next year?
I said probably
can we do
not.
Erchin next year?
No. Like, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm saying.
Probably not.
It came up in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin. You should.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right. Tisha v'Kohen. Okay, good. But. But Rabbi Shulman, in his little sefer over here on Perek Habona, he says, well, maybe the Pshat in Rashi is, you know, the Gemara tells me at the beginning, on the first daf of Shavuos, that Mishkan Ikri Mikdash and Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, no?
So
it could be that Rashi is saying that you don't only learn malachos from what the Mishkan was done in the Midbar, since Mikdash and Mishkan are the same, and the Mikdash was made with stones, so maybe that's enough to be called an Av Malacha. I don't know.
That's strange, because that essentially means that whenever it was that they first made the Mikdash with stones, or the Mishkan with stones, which I guess could be Shiloh.
Right, Shiloh was
then,
a...
they were keeping Shabbos with different expectations of the Malacha.
Well, again, so either we could say that Kaddish Baruch Hu knew the future, that there would be a Binyan Avonim.
Then it's kind of just like an Asmata.
The basic point is that we learn Malachos from the way they built the Mishkan, and we're assuming that building the Mikdash is the halachic equivalent to building the Mishkan, and therefore stones are also thrown in. That's a possibility. And the Balei HaTosfos themselves disagree with Rashi. The Balei HaTosfos say that Makkev Patrish is Mokush Acharon Shemaka Al Hakli Bishas Gemar Malacha. According to Tosfos, Makkev Patrish is banging on the kli when you finish it, which is probably what the Ran says on Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis Bedapei Harif, where the Ran says that Makkev Patrish is, you have to imagine the way like a blacksmith makes a keli, right? So you're like banging on it to finish it off, right? I took my kids to Corning, New York, two summers ago. So in Corning, you make glass. And the godless of finishing the glass keli is that there is a... to make the bottom of the keli, you have to, like, bang it off. And you also have... it's, like, super hot. They have, like, a furnace. It's, like, 2,000 degrees, which is considerably hotter than it is today. And they bang it off, and that's how you finish it. And also, you kind of get the nicks out of the keli at the very end. Right, the idea of finishing a keli is that the experts are sitting there with like their various keli fixing tools, and they are finishing it off. Zoktaisis, that's the malacha of Makkev Bepatish. Good? Tosfos and the Ran say that. Ms. Schiff.
In terms of Rashi's definition, like that just scenario that he drew of like taking the pick and going against the mountain, is that like finishing a kli? Like that's like almost like the step before building
anything. So I think according to Rashi, it's not finishing a kli. It's finishing a stone.
A stone.
And the stone is not a kli.
Right.
And for and making that stone is not a malacha at all, but still there is some iser of finishing. It's not some iser. It's the av malacha is finishing it off. That's the way Rashi learns. Okay. Now, the problem in Judaism begins that Rashi is Soser himself. Because Rashi on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph has a very different definition of Gemar Malacha. What does Rashi write in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph? Well, a very different definition of Makeh B'Patish. I sort of gave it away. All right, so Rashi says that Makeh B'Patish is basically Gemar Kol Malacha, she came umin makeh b'kornes astan lahachlikoi b'gemar malacha. Right, so Rashi sounds very much like Tosfos over here, no? And very that Rashi says that makeh b'patish is gemar kol malacha, that you finish a malacha, that is the makeh b'patish. But right, so first of all, that's Soser our Rashi, where Rashi says that makeh b'patish is on the stone. But the bigger problem in Rashi, the problem that the Ran asks on Rashi, is that Rashi is picking up this line that you're makeh b'kurnis al hastan b'shas malacha. No? What is that? What's makeh b'kurnis al hastan b'shas malacha? Right, you hit the mallet on the block.
I'm not really sure what that means.
So I think what it means is like this. I have a mallet. A mallet is like a little hammer, no? And when I am making something, I kind of take that hammer, and instead of only using the hammer to hit the keli, I'm going to also bang on the wooden block, which smooths out the hammer, and makes the hammer usable for additional bangs. You can't continue using the hammer the whole time because the hammer will end up not smooth. And when the hammer is not smooth, it can ruin your keli.
What does that have to do with Gemar Malacha?
With
Gemar Malacha.
So Gemar Malacha, I think, means it's... There are different ways of saying it. But I would argue, and we'll see this in the Gemar in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, it's Gemar Malacha of fixing or finishing the hammer. The hammer, right, it's not Gemar Malacha on the keli. It's Gemar Malacha on the hammer. At least that's the sheet of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says in our Mishnah that makeh b'kornes al hasdan b'shas malacha is metakein malacha, which probably means that's called makeh b'patish.
So he's saying that's the same thing?
So Rashi on Ayin Gimel, to explain the malacha makeh b'patish, Rashi quotes from Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. So Nish'ela Tasha'ela, the Ran asks on Rashi, my dear beloved Rashi, like you're a nice guy and all that, but like there's something going on over here, because why are you quoting from Shimon ben Gamliel when presumably the Tanna Kamma disagrees with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and it would be much more reasonable, right, that we should lechayra should paskin like the Tanna Kamma against Rashbag, right? And when Rashi is defining makeh b'patish and ayin gimel amud aleph, so Rashi is quoting Rashbag when you shouldn't do that. That's really the Ran's kasha.
I thought his issue had to do with the fact that that Rashi, that according to the Ran, he has
the
gersa of
Gemar
Malacha, not just
the Shas. Okay, so I'm not sure if you're... You're, I think, saying something which is very correct and will be part of the answer, but I think the Ran is presenting the problem, right, rather than the answer. Turn to the Ran. It's on Lamed Aleph on the base, Bedepe. No, yeah, Lamed Aleph on the base, Bedepe, Harif. Okay, it's the Ran on that Mishnah on Ayin Gimel, where the Mishnah, okay, good Yiddish word, rechens ice. That means the Mishnah lists off the or counts off literally. Mission that counts off. Well, I didn't do that, by the way, in your finals. I did not give you any translation of Yiddish terms, which was a complete oversight. It was a complete oversight on my part, and like I'll try to never make this mistake again. What?
Two semesters ago, we also didn't have.
I know.
Up
no, I didn't.
I knew it was
there. Someone asked to have thinking questions on the final this semester. I don't remember who it was. Was that Sophia? Was that you?
What?
That like we, instead of just having like spit back. So apparently, some of the other women in the class don't feel this is a good idea. But that doesn't mean
we
won't do
it. Sorry,
I'm
auditing, and so maybe I don't
know. I definitely don't understand. Okay, Chevra, let's look at the Ran. Laman alfam beis bedapi arif, v'hamaka bepatish. So the Ran writes, Pirish Rashi Zal, Mishum gemar melocha, shekeno umen make alastan b'shas gemar melocha. So he quotes Rashi, v'lo mechuvar. V'lo mechuvar, the word chiver literally means white. Right? And lo mechuvar means it's not clear, because white represents clarity. V'lo mechuvar, says the Ran, d'ho b'per kabonet z'nan ha'masata makam patish, v'alok tani sefer Rabbi Gamliel omer. Notice how he has the girsa of Rabbi Gamliel. We have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which is actually somewhat significant, because the Gemara in the 7th parak of Gittin, and at the end of Baba Basra, the Gemara tells me, kol makam shoshana rashbag b'mishna, halacha kamoso chutzmi orev tzidon v'raya achreina. That every time you have Rashbag in a Mishnah, you pass in like Rashbag, with three exceptions. Now the Bali HaTosis there in Baba Basra point out that it doesn't really mean throughout Shas, it only means in Baba Basra. Right? But many of the Rishonim disagree with the Bali HaTosis, and it's probably not relevant according to the Girsa that the Ran has, that's Rabbi Gamliel instead of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because that rule there in Gittin is called Makom Shoshana Rim Shim Megamli of the Mishnah Seder. Okay, Zozain, whatever it is. So the Ran asks, what do you mean? Rashi isn't clear, right? He doesn't think Rashi is correct, because in our Mishnah we have Misates, Makeb Patish, Ve'alok Tani Rim Megamli Ome Afa Makeb Akornis Astan, Bishas Gemar Malacha, Alma Dilav Hainu Makeb Patish. Right? I think what the Ran is saying, Adina, and tell me if I'm learning Roim Shat. I think what the Ran is saying is that Lav Hainu Makeb Patish of the Tanakhama. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Av HaMakeb Akornis Alastan is Makeb Patish, that means Lav Hainu, right, Makeb Patish according to the Tanakhama. Only according to Rashbag is it Makeb Patish, not
so
according to the Tanakhama.
Rashbag is saying that this is how he's defining Makeb Patish, it's not that he's. It's not that he's adding another category.
Well, Lecha'ora
category, and which that's why if you're quoting.
So Lecha'ora Rashbag is saying even this case of Makeb Akornis Al Hastan is Makeb Patish. And I would argue what Rashbag is being Mosif is what we said a minute ago.
Wait, so are all the things listed in the Mishnah then examples of Makeb Patish? Because if so, then that makes sense. But I thought there were a bunch of different things that the Mishnah...
So I think the way we're learning the Mishnah is once I have the word Makeb Patish, there's the Mishnah has two malachos. There's a malacha bone and a malacha makeb patish. Right? That's what we pointed out, that there's no vav in Rashi's Girsa of the Mishnah. And after hamakeb patish, you also have a ma'atzad. You have hakodeach koshehu. What's kodeach koshehu mean? Right? If you, like, make some hole. It's a tiny little hole. That's also going to be what? Bone or makeb patish. It's one of the two in the Mishnah. It's either bone or makeb patish.
So it's not a list of things that you would be chayav for under bone.
So I think it's easier to read the Mishnah that's a list of things that you chayav for under makeb patish.
So it's if you read.
I'm not sure.
In the Mishnah, it's habona
kama yivne v'hechayev. Habona koshehu.
That's it.
So I would read it that Habon koshehu viha misates, semicolon, And then Hamaka Bepatish and Matzah and blah 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 blah.
Oh, that is so not how I understood it. Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure how to read it, because like what we pointed out when we read Hamasates, it's harder. Is Masates going to be Makeh B'Patish? Right? It's easy. I'll say it like this. It's easier to say that Masates is Makeh B'Patish. It means that you like square off a stone, you smooth the stone. That sounds more Makeh B'Patish like than Bona like.
If you take away the vav from.
Vihamaka Bapatish, and you just have Misates, Hamisates Vihamaka.
No, I'm saying you say with vav from Vihamaka Bapatish.
Right, then it sounds like Hamaka Bapatish begins the second sentence.
Right, if there's vav in it, then you're just reading it as this is the whole list of things that under the category of
Bona. Nachon. Right.
So then,
and then we're not talking about Maka. But then our Mishnah is not telling us Maka Bapatish is an Av Malacha at all.
Right.
Right, but that's highly unlikely. That's what the Makeh B'Patish is like a subset of Bona.
Right, we can't say that because of the other.
It's in the Mishnah Ayin Gimel has Makeh B'Patish as an independent Malacha. Correct.
Wait, okay. So why would Mehamasate come before Makeh B'Patish if it's like?
I don't know. I'm assuming this for me is the big mystery. Why Masates is between Bona and Makeh B'Patish? I mean, it's one of the big mysteries. There's a few others. But, I don't know. Sophia?
I sort of thought that, like, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was just, like, adding to the kol shehu thing. Because, like, we say zeh haklal, right? The Enyatim is kayemet. And I thought that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was coming to be, like, even the most insignificant whatever, where there's, like, no...
So maybe, in other words, even though there's no noticeable change at all, I am smoothing off my hammer. I thought what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is that the action that I'm doing is an action on the hammer rather than an action on the keli. That's what I thought. You're saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel is kind of extending what a kol shehu means.
Yeah.
It's not only a kol shehu, it's even... Like, kosher is pretty small. Kosher is as small as it gets.
Well, or he's extending it to say, kosher doesn't only apply to the actual act of binyan, but even something that's just fixing your hammer.
Just a preparation. Right, so that's what I'm trying to say, that it's
but
on
that's
the...
Not,
but
that's Makeh B'Patish.
That's not defining, like, I guess Makeh B'Patish, but like, that could be defining, like, what kosher is, like, even, like, so in the example of, like, Makeh B'Patish, right, like, if you do that, it's, like, so... Even like you're fixing the thing itself, like maybe there could be other parallels, and you're just giving that like an even, like maybe that's very extreme. Maybe not.
I'm not sure I'm getting it, but hey, let's go back to the Ran, okay? So the Ran is saying that Rashi on Ayin Gimel, you said that Makeh B'Patish means that you bang on the stan, but if I read the Ran correctly, the Ran is asking on Rashi. He says, no, right, Rashi, you're giving me Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's approach, but that's not the Tanakhama. So therefore, Ela Ikorin Shodvarm is like what the Rabbi Chananel says. Sha'umen Makeh B'Patish Al-Kli L'Hashvos Ak-Mumisa V'chein Al-Evin Shem-Binyin L'Hashvos L'Chaverta V'chi Agafna, even though it's not a Malacha Mitzad Atzma, in other words, according to the Ran, similar to what we saw according to Tosfos, Makeh B'Patish means that you finish it all off. It's that last little bit. It's on the keli, etc. And it's not banging it on the block. But Rashi says it's banging it on the block. Now,
he thinks that it's not being on the block, according to the Tanakhama. Because he would think that the Ran would agree with Rashi.
The Ran is saying that the definition of Makeh B'Patish, according to the Tanakhama, is not banging it on the block. According to the Ran, the Tanakhama's definition of Makeh B'Patish is that you just finish the keli. That's what the Ran is saying.
So if you say then that that the tonic that Ramin Shimangomliel is redefining what Mapa Pasha is against with the tonic Mama says, then the Ram's Pasha and Tosa is like huge.
If Rav Shimon Gamliel is redefining...
If Rav Shimon Gamliel is disagreeing with what Makor Pratzis is...
I feel like he's just adding something onto it. But not
then, it's then the Ram's Kasha and Tosos can't really be resolved.
No, but it's... Right, in other words, you're saying that the Ram's Kasha is a good Kasha because Rav Shimon Gamliel is just adding, and why would Rashi...
If Rav Shimon Gamliel is disagreeing with the Tanakh Rambam, then it's impossible for Rashi to describe Makor Pratzis as being something that...
Why would Rashi pick the Rashbag's approach? Is that what you're asking? I mean, that's exactly what the Ran is asking.
No, I'm saying he's picking the Rashbag's approach, or he's just defining it in general, in which case...
I mean, Rashi, in what seems to be defining it in general, because Rashi on Ayin Gimel is giving me the pshat in the Malacha, Rashi picks up on the Shimon Gamliel verbiage, and why would Rashi do that? Right? That's the question. That's the Ran's question.
So it's more like, why does he choose the Rashbag? Not,
no. Right.
Not, this is how he's describing it, not
I think those are like two sides of the same coin. Now, why are you picking Rashbag? You should give a definition according to the Tanakhama.
Because this definition can't be the definition according to the
Tanakhama. Nachon. Okay. It's the same thing. Oh, whichever.
Wait, so, just to clarify, I thought we said that what the Rashbag was saying was not that he was, like, changing the definition of Makor Pratzis, he was just adding something on. Like, hitting the nail on the wooden block is another example of Makor Pratzis in addition to finishing off the piece.
Okay.
Is that what we're saying?
And, but why would Rashi pick on the addition of Rashbag?
Like, why is it right? But I'm saying, like, your question made it seem like... Like Rashi agrees with the Tanakhama, but he's also agreeing. Meaning, he doesn't agree with the Tanakhama. He agrees with the overall. Like everyone agrees that finishing off the plea is not the practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, the only thing that Rashi seems to like add on is that another definition of Makapat, like. In addition to that, another example would just be hitting the mat on the wooden block, which the Tanakhama does not think is
right. Right, the Tanakhama does not say that.
So what does the Tanakhama think that it is?
We don't know.
We don't know. So it seems to me, if you look in the Me'iri over here, the Me'iri tells me that there are some who paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. I would argue that maybe what Rashi is saying is that Rashi wants to tell me on Ayin Gimel that I paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rashi is kind of just throwing it out there. And Rashi wants to throw that out there because Makeh B'Patish involves using a hammer. And other Gemara Malachas don't necessarily involve using a hammer. Rashi is throwing it out there for that reason, although I'm not sure. I would just argue that Rashi is telling me that the Malacha of Makeh, it might be better to use a classroom, that the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish, according to Rashi, usually Makeh B'Patish means I finish the stone off. Rashi's adding a nekuda on Ayin Gimel to tell me, by the way, we also paskin like Rashbag. That's what I would...
Seems like a weird place to put that. Should you put that on the doc?
Yeah. So, this is... It is weird.
Can we just explain that Me'iri again?
The Me'iri just quotes an opinion that some Rishonim paskin like the Tanakhama, and it seems to me, says the Me'iri, that I paskin like Rashbag. That's what the Me'iri says.
And therefore,
that led to some juk in my brain that I said, oh, well, maybe that's what Rashi is being mechadish and daf ayin gimel. Rashi Daf Ayin Gimel tell me, by the way, I'm going to define Makir Patrish according to Rashbag because that's how I pass it.
But then what's the whole, like, oh, because it uses a hammer, but other machos don't have a hammer?
So maybe what Rashi's doing in, why does Rashi pick Rashbag? Why does he pick his approach? Like, you're asking. So the answer is that the word Makir Patrish, the teich, the translation of using a hammer, is more Rashbag dick than Tanakama dick. According to the Tanakhama, right, Makir B'Patish might mean just knocking the stone off or something, like Rashi says on Kuf Beis. But that doesn't meet the definition of Patish as well. I think that's the answer to your question to some extent. Right, the fact that we call the Malacha Makir B'Patish, that indicates that the hammer is more essential.
Yeah, but you're just hitting it. Like
when you're
saying like
Maka is
not saying that you're fixing the hammer, you're just saying you're hitting it with the hammer to finish it up.
But I'm hitting with the hammer. But it doesn't matter. The point is the hammer is an essential component of this definition. Okay. I think what we're going to do now, just because I'm beginning not to be able to hear myself, is we'll break now. And Amir Tashem on Monday, what I want everyone to do really is talk about Malacha HaMiskayemes, that Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, the way, and you should look at Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's tshuva that I gave you, and we'll go on from here. Okay, Chavra, have a good Shabbos, and
thanks
it's good
so
to be back to Torah.